Hello and welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast, a podcast show dedicated to helping you get close to your true authentic self by helping you find your feet in life.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. We're jumping straight back in with part two of 20 things we have learned in our 20s. So if you didn't catch last week's episode, which was part one, go and listen to that one first and then come back and join us later on this one.
Okay, so let's get into it. Do you want to go first?
I thought you were going to go first. I went first on the last one.
Oh, right. I didn't realise that's what you were asking me for.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go first.
You go first.
I would like to say mine get a little more lighthearted, but they just really don't.
Grab your tissues, guys, because part one was emotional. There was tears.
There was. Okay, let's just kick it off with this one, because it's quite different to what we spoke about before. So my sixth lesson of my early 20s, just something that I think is not a lifelong lesson, but something that is a really important lesson to... Something really important to realise is that it sounds so serious, but sorry guys, it's just what resonates with me. So most people are operating from their inner child and most of them are hurting.
Right, yeah.
Because isn't that so true?
Yeah.
Everybody is operating from their inner child quite a lot of the time. And the more I've like learned about that, the more I see it in other people and myself. I'm not saying I don't do that. I am completely the same. Like, the more I learn about like emotional regression, and we spoke about that on the podcast before, like it's absolutely fascinating, and you can understand human behavior. You can understand your parents, your siblings, everything so much more when you understand that a lot of the time we're completely tapping out of like where we actually are, and we're emotionally regressing to a different age and acting from our inner child. And not to mention Karina again, but like her main thing is like, she's always like, my main thing is healing the inner child. And I'm just starting to realize like how important that is, and like reflecting on situations I've been in where I'm like, oh my God, like I was completely in my child there. Like I went back to a memory, and obviously it is quite deep. It's all to do with like things you've been through as to why you would emotionally regress.
Yeah.
But I think understanding that a lot of people are in their inner child is really interesting. And as I said, I can see a lot in characteristics now. I mean, like, I see it, not to call out men, but I feel like sometimes you can really see a man's inner child, and that, I'm telling you, is an ick.
What do you, like, what? When you see... Your inner child's giving me the ick right now. It is so Gen Z talk,
but it's so true, though, and again, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do that as well, but, like, because so many people walk around in these adult bodies, but then they might act out, or they're like, I don't know, emotionally manipulative, and they don't get their own way, aggressive and stuff like that. And you see them switch, or like, say, just a total random example, like a relationship, the man is triggered by what his wife is saying, but he's not actually triggered by that. It's triggering the way his woman used to speak to him or something like that. And they completely like emotionally regress into like this child, and like you can almost see it in the body language. I'm like, oh my God, you are in your inner child. And I know that's mean to say it's an ick, because it's like a very natural thing to do, but it's just fascinating, basically. And I think the more you learn about it, the more you learn to reparent your inner child and heal it, and then not react in like such a reactive way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's definitely something that I've started learning, and it's a huge process, so I'm sure it'll be something I'll be learning throughout my later 20s.
Yeah, no, it's inner child healing is wild. Like it's mad when like you gain awareness by it, and then like you get into a situation that triggers you, and then you think, is this me, or is this my inner child like coming out here? And then have that like little breathing space before you like respond or like react to the situation. Like that's what I've done recently, like over the last few months with different situations, is I've like got to this point where I'm like, oh my God, this is triggering me so much.
Mm.
Why? It's because it's literally my inner child, because they used to get triggered by it.
Yeah.
And now, but I don't have to be that, I don't have to be my inner child anymore, because I'm now an adult version of me. So I can actually like bring the adult version of me to the situation, whatever that is, and bring boundaries if that's what's needed or anything. And then actually that helps to reparent your inner child, because you're like showing it a new outcome
yeah.
that it's not experienced before.
Yeah. You're giving your child like the opportunity they never got, and that is healing.
Yeah.
Rather than just repeating the pattern,
yeah.
You're giving it the chance it never got.
Yeah, and that is some powerful shit too, because it's really hard, because like you feel all the emotions and then you like have to choose to do something different with them.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, it's amazing at the same time.
It is.
To get to do that.
Yeah. Inner child healing is some very powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful shit.
It is. So this is my, is it? No, it's not the fifth. It's our sixth.
Oh,
that was your
fifth?
Six. Yeah.
Oh, man, six.
This is my sixth. Sixth thing I have learned in my 20s or early 20s. And I feel like this leads on nicely from what we were just talking about on inner child, inner children. Is that, like emotionally maturing in your 20s is realizing that you don't need anyone else's praise, acknowledgement, or validation to feel proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like it's nice to have that from other people, but you don't need it. And I feel like that's actually like kind of inner child healing too, because it's your inner child that wants to be told, oh, well done, gold star, I'm so proud of you, da-da, for you to feel like you did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But when you become an adult, that doesn't always happen. And to bring up the event again from the weekend that we went to, Estelle, when she was talking to Lisa Donovan, literally said they were talking and saying that you about having the courage to follow your purpose, like to follow the downloads you get, you know, the ideas you get of things that you think would be good to do with your life. And they were saying that you're not going to get clapped for it. Like, no one's going to be, like, interested or... Well, at least not at the start, anyway. Like, obviously, people will to an extent. But, like, they won't care as much as you care. Mm. Especially in the beginning when it kind of is or doesn't really exist much. And, yeah, and was literally saying, like, you have to just do it for you. And, like, it's so true.
Yes.
But, like, if you can literally go through your whole 20s, though, like, doing things that you think are going to get approval and validation from your family or even your friends and like even like peers and colleagues or whatever, and it's just that's emptiness. Because it will never like really make you feel satisfied.
Yeah,
if it's, especially if it's not actually what you want to be doing, you're doing it to like get the approval of others. But basically, like, you need to do what you want to do, and you don't need anybody else to pat you on the head and give you a gold star and tell you you've done a fucking good job. You need to be able to tell yourself that, because when you become an adult, people just don't always tell you that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And you have to learn how to, you know, not go insane.
Yeah.
Without that gold star.
Because I think when you're growing up as well, like, the only way we can like learn love in a way is that you like learn love, you know, from approval.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, you do something, you get rewarded and you get love. But like you said, I feel like when you're getting into your 20s, it is like that inner child healing of actually realizing like, I am loved no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you're not looking for that approval because you got your own approval.
Mm.
And someone said something the other day and I thought it was so spot on that like, in terms of like, obviously validation is nice and comments are nice, but in terms of like, external validation, there's always a limit, but when it comes from within, it's infinite. I was like, that's so true. Like, when it comes from your self-worth and when it comes from within, then it's infinite. It's never going to run out. But like, external validation is always going to be like, you're always going to hit a wall with it and want more.
Yeah.
So you got to validate yourself.
You got to be enough for you and be proud of yourself and do it for you.
Oh gosh. I feel like this one is like so tough love vibes.
That's what you are all about, that.
I love tough love.
Fucking hell. I won't come to you if I'm like on my knees and bits.
No, but only when the time is right.
Yeah,
tough love. And I do like tough loving on her because I feel like I like, you know, you're not going to grow if you fluff things up, are you?
No.
Yeah, so as I said, quite a lot of mine about relationships. So I'm just going to actually read this out because I've just wrote it how I would wanted to say it. So I'm just laughing. I don't know. It's not even that bad. All your relationships are your responsibility. If you stay in a toxic dynamic, then that means your need for love, whether it's healthy or not, outweighs you, outweighs how much you value authentic happiness. And in that process, you are self-abandoning.
Yeah.
Which is true, isn't it?
It's the truth.
Like, we can all... And it goes back to what I was saying in episode one about, like, who you attract and stuff. Like, we're all going to be in situations that aren't ideal completely. It's part of life. We're going to attract them. We're going to entertain them. Like, no shame there. I've been in so many. Like, it's the most normal thing in the world. But you do have to take responsibility for, like, one, why you're entertaining it or why you're staying. And I know there can be loads of reasons why to stay, and that is why people stay. But that simply means that, like, the benefits of you staying are outweighing how much you value how you could feel like not in the relationship or friendship or whatever it is. And you just have to be super, super, super honest with yourself, because you could think of a million reasons to stay, mm-hmm. or a million things that are against you. But I think taking like so much accountability for your relationships and thinking, where did I play a role? Where did I stay? Where maybe I could have left. Or even scrap that and just stop thinking about the past and just think, right now in this moment, are the relationships that I don't want in my life that I have, that I could walk away from? And just taking responsibility, because you don't want to, again, look back in years to come and think, oh, I don't believe in wasting time, but oh, I wasted time doing this and I wasted time doing that. And like, oh, I can't believe they did this to me and they did that and they were horrible. But it's like, you do have... Most people do have free will, and it is your responsibility what relationships you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like friendships as well. Yeah. Because they can be toxic. And it's not just like a, you know, toxic like you typically think, like some controlling, kind of manipulative, abusive partner, but as well just like friends that make you feel like shit.
Yeah.
Friends that like don't actually really root for you or support you. Maybe try and keep you small, like fuck that. Like I would rather be alone, like,
yeah, me too,
than have bad people around me, because they fucking drag you down so much. Like, you literally become who you are. You become who you're around, who they're around. Like, people that you're around influence me, even if I haven't met them. And there is studies to back this up, and we've quoted them in an episode before. What was that episode? I can't even remember the name of it.
No, I can't remember.
But we've, like, just talked about it before, but, like, there's literally studies that show that, you know, if even friends removed from your actual friends, like, you know, people that you know, they actually have an influence on you as well. That, like, that's how much we all, impact each other. And people underestimate that all the time. And they just let, like, shit people be around them, like... People that moan, people that are negative, people that have, like, zero drive to, like, make their life better. People that are mean, people that bitch about you, gossip, chat shit, and just, like, try and keep you small. Like, get them out of your life, because they're literally killing you. Like, they're killing your potential. They're killing your spirit. Get rid. Even if it means you're leaving a big, massive, gaping hole in your life, it's the right thing to do. I have literally cut off so many people in my life. Friends, whatever. I have never regretted one of them. Even when it was hard, I have never regretted any of it, because it's, you know, like, they're just weird. So you just need to get rid of them.
And that's your responsibility. So you took responsibility. Because I just struggle sometimes to have... Don't get wrong, I'm a very sympathetic person, like I am. But I do sometimes struggle to have sympathy for people when they can sit and moan about a relationship to a massive extent. And you're just like, well, why are you in? And this is putting aside anything like abuse and stuff like that. Like, if you're in an abusive relationship,
obviously, and there's children involved and you haven't got the finances, like, to leave, things like that. Like, that's
factors. But I'm talking more like if you're in a toxic dynamic, the way you, like, you're not happy or... Like, yeah, it can happen a lot in friendships where you're like, some people have a certain friend that they just moan about all the time and that they don't actually like, but they still stay in the friendship. And I'm just like, for what reason? But I suppose it's just that they don't value themselves enough to walk away. Yeah. But I'm telling you to walk away, because, yeah, your relationships are your responsibility, and like how...
Yeah, and the quicker you walk away, the quicker you attract good people. Like, how are you going to have space for good people? How are you going to be on the frequency where you're going to meet and be in the same situations as the kind of people you'd actually want to be friends with when you are literally being dragged down and vibrating at a lower level with shit people? Like, as you go, and literally these shit people, they hold you back. They pull you back from your potential. Like, the one thing I'll always get rid of people of straight away is if they, like, chat shit about what I'm doing or try and be like, oh, why are you doing that? That's a bit weird. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you know when people start maybe putting themselves out online, maybe they start a YouTube channel, things like that, and people, like, take the piss. Like, people like that, like, that are going nowhere. Yeah. And, like, you need to just get rid of them, because can you imagine if you actually keep them around you and listen to them, like, what are you going to do? You're not going to actually go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, and do you really want to put the opinion of that person, their energy, above your life? No.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. If it means you have to spend every fucking weekend by yourself 6 months till you make some new friends, doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, no.
You will get further ahead doing that than keeping, like, shite people around you. So I'm here for it. I'm here for the tough love of that one.
What do they say? Better to be alone than in bad company.
Yeah.
So true.
And do you remember that quote that I tried to repeat on the podcast once, and I couldn't remember it, and then do you remember when I was trying to get it off my computer and we couldn't get it? This is lockdown Zoom times. That was a long time ago. Anyway, yeah, there's another quote, and it's a bit of like a cringe-o quote, but I do enjoy it. Because, you know, we all enjoy little cringy quotes sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, something like, and I'm going to fucking butcher it again and not remember it. It was something along the lines of, those who fly solo often have the strongest wings. I'd be shaking himself.
My stomach's making mad sounds.
We just eat lunch, so... it's all going on down there for you. I mean, that sounds so ridiculously cringe, but as in, like,
no, I love it.
You know, it is. I'm not saying that, like, other people don't help you have strong wings. They do, but only the right kind of people, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got another tough love one. Oh, so, you know, we'll just stay on the tough love vibe. But it's basically that feeling scared of something doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. And obviously that's within reason. If you feel scared of a toxic person, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't leave, you know? Or you feel scared of jumping out of a plane. Like, Abby tries to pressure me to jump out of planes every now and then. That you shouldn't do it, you know? Within reason. It's more about your dreams. Like, let's say you want to start a YouTube channel and you just shit scared of it, but you always think about it. That's the most important thing that you should do. There's actually this quote, I think it's from Stephen Bartlett, and, like, I wrote it in my journal, like, years ago. I think when I was, like, deciding to leave my corporate job and work for myself and do all these things. And it was, everything I'm the most proud of started with fear and ended with happiness. And, you know, like, when you put that first YouTube video out, I hope we've got lots of budding YouTubers listening. You know, you're going to shit yourself, and it's probably going to get 10 views, and you're going to feel like a knob, and you're going to think, oh, everyone's going to see this and think I'm so cringe. But you just have to keep going. Or, you know, or maybe you start your own business, or maybe you start a positivity page on Instagram because you really want to, and you're just scared, or whatever it is that you're scared of. Like, or even you're scared of relationships and intimacy or something, commitment. You know, you need to just go for it, because the reason you're scared of it is, you know, often we're more scared of things we actually really want as well. Because I guess it's the fear of how will I feel if I lose that? Because I want it so much. Like, I know that it would make me happy. I want that so much. I value that so much. I would love to have that. But can I handle not having it? Can I handle losing it? Can I handle getting it and then it going? I think that can make you even stop kind of going there.
Yeah, like, hiding from the pain.
Yes, but like you were saying, this start, like, kind of like, you know, with say falling in love, there's always a risk of falling out of love and heartbreak. So it's just like the price that you pay for love, or it's just the price you pay for experiencing certain things in life. But it's the same with everything. What if I start that business I've always dreamt of and it fucking fails? Then what am I going to do? I've lost my North Star. That's a fear, like, that you have that would stop you doing it. But, you know, it won't. And even if it does fail, it fails for a reason, and it leads you on to plan B, which was the right thing you meant to do anyway, but you never would have got there without doing A. You had to do A first. Like, you never know how your life's leading you, but you've got to lean into the things that, like, really scare you and just do them anyway, because everything you're proud of started with fear and ended with happiness.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that quote.
Yeah, it's cute.
And it's so true. I think literally anything in life, if you're really want something and you're resisting it, it's always the fear.
Yeah.
But like you said, not even the fear of actually doing it, maybe the fear of losing it.
Yeah.
And that's so true.
Or the fear of who you have to become to get it.
Yeah.
It means you've got to step up.
Yeah, or do more work, be a different person.
And it's scary.
Stand in your truth. I'm sure everyone can resonate with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the gamble of life.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something we've been noticing in these points. It's like the gamble of life that you just got to go for.
Mm-hmm.
Spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel of pain.
Grace and I are huge advocates for therapy. We always bang on about how much it has changed our life, but that's because it literally has changed our lives in many ways. And as you can hear in this episode, a lot of the things we discussed are things we have most likely learned through therapy. So that is why it is just perfectly matched that we are partnered with BetterHelp, who are a professional online counseling service. So if you are feeling a bit down in the dumps, a bit depressed, maybe you've got anxiety that you don't know how to deal with, you can simply go onto their website and fill in a questionnaire of what you feel like you need support for, and they will match you with a therapist in literally 2 days. It is super quick. And then once you're matched with your therapist, you can begin talking with them, whether that is voice calls, video calls, or even just text messages if you're not comfortable enough to speak over the phone. And even if you are actually matched with a therapist and you think, I am not too keen on this therapist, I actually want somebody different, you can change for free until you're happy, which I think is an incredible benefit, because obviously you really need to feel comfortable with your therapist. So if you do want to try out BetterHelp and start your own therapy journey, then you can get 10% off your first month of therapy. All you have to do is head to the link betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That is betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. We will leave the link in the show notes for you. And you can begin your own journey with therapy. But just remember, if you are waking up feeling sad and feeling like you are struggling through your 20s and feeling like something just isn't quite right, then you do deserve the support and you are so worth it. Okay, so my 8th thing that I've learned in my early 20s is that you are going to change your mind a lot about so many things in life, and that's okay. And I think you have to allow yourself to change your mind even every day. The more like you gain information about something, maybe you hear somebody else's insight, maybe you have your own experience and you could completely change your mind on something. And I think if you like are really strongly opinionated on something and then you change your mind and you don't want to admit that you've changed your mind,
yeah,
you're actually choosing your ego over truth in that moment.
So ego ran.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, people won't even realize they're doing it. Yeah. Like, so it's like you have to keep choosing, like, do you want to choose your truth? And it doesn't matter that if, I mean, it could mean, like, it could be, the example could be literally anything, but like, it doesn't even matter if you're so rooted in that truth. Or maybe say it's a career path and you're like, oh, I want to do this. You study for years and years and years and you're like dead set on this. And then, I don't know, you go through an experience or you slowly start to fall out of love with it. And then one day you wake up and you think, I don't want to do this. And so there's always going to be those people that are like, well, I thought you wanted to do that, because they're like just trying to keep you in like what they know you as, like they don't want to see you grow. But I think if you can be really brave in every single day, I think I am reborn. Like, that's always what I think. Like, I think every single day you are reborn. You're a completely different person. What you went through that day, it's another day of your life. You didn't have that yesterday. You didn't have those experiences. So you can change your mind on anything. And as I said at the start, the more you allow yourself to change your mind, the more when someone comes to you and you're like, well, you've changed your tune. We're like, yeah, let them change his tune.
Yeah.
Because we're growing and we're learning and that's what you're meant to do. Like, you're gonna change your mind.
Yeah, and I think that, like, we kind of live in a bit of a culture that doesn't like people that change their mind, like, especially online.
Yeah, like you have to pick one side and you stay there. Yeah,
and then if you change your tune, like, you're gonna get cancelled or whatever. But I mean, if you're not changing your mind, you're not fucking growing.
No.
Like, if you're not cringing as well at maybe what you used to think or do, you're not growing. So, you know, you just need to roll with it and embrace it. And like, you know, love the past version of you and their old interests and beliefs, and like embrace the present you, and also the present you will cringe out the future you at one point, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Not cringe, but like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, I think there's so many people that I probably make themselves have like quite an unfulfilling and unhappy life because they're not, they can't just be cool with it. They change their mind, they want something else.
Yeah.
Whether that's in a relationship, you know, being with a partner for ages. Sunk cost fallacy will come in here fucking hell. Yeah, so the sunk cost fallacy is basically where you decide whether it's like stay or abandon something based on the investment you've already made in it, whether that's like time, money, energy, whatever. So like say you've been with someone for like 5 years or something, but you actually don't want to be with them anymore, but you feel like, I don't know, your life's ticking time bomb or something, and like you're past it, in quote marks on my hands right now. Like, you know, so you just think, oh no, like then I'd have to go back into the dating pool and like then find someone else, it'll take ages to get back to this point with someone else, blah, 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 and I've already spent so much time with this person, so I'll just stay. Or you're like, oh, I've already invested loads of money into this business, even though I'm not enjoying it, and it's not working, it doesn't feel aligned with me anymore. Instead of just closing it, I'm just going to keep going, because it's that sunk cost fallacy. And I feel like people do that a lot with trying to change their mind, like that influences them a lot as well.
Yeah.
Not just like the ego of like, oh, can I be humble enough to like say, oh no, I don't think that anymore, or I don't like that anymore, or I want to do something else. It's also like your past self's investment in everything.
Yeah.
Gives you a warped perception on how you should move forward.
Yeah. The sunk cost fallacy, I swear, it's like such a game changer. As in, like, if everyone understood that concept, I think people would think really differently. Because that is such a common feeling of like, well, I've already put myself through so much to get to this point, so why would I give up now?
Yeah.
But whether you give up or not, like, that time is already gone. You've already put that energy and that effort in. It's done. It's in the past. So now, do you want to move forward with it or do you not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so simple, but I think that you can literally keep yourself in such a loop thinking, well, I work so hard, so why would I stop even though I'm not happy? But it actually doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
Why you wouldn't stop.
Yeah. Okay, so my eighth thing that I've learned in my 20s is another quote to explain it, but I love this quote. And it's, happiness comes in waves and it will find you again.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Should we shed a tear?
Yeah.
But it's like so true, because when you're sad, you can't imagine being happy again.
Mm.
And when you're happy, that doesn't last forever either. Like, it's, we're meant to feel the full spectrum of emotions. Like, that's normal. And I just think you can go through like quite a lot of patches in your life, but maybe you're first properly experiencing them in your 20s where you aren't happy and you can just feel like the happiness isn't going to come back. Mm. But it does.
Yeah.
You know, it comes in waves and it will find you again.
Mm. Yeah, it's so emotional. I definitely resonate with that, because I feel like I, in the past, have always wanted to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you always kind of, like, crave happiness. And, like, as a whole, I would say, growing up, and then I've always been, I think you're the same, I've always been quite a happy person. I would consider myself a happy person. So I used to always crave happiness. And then, like, so then when I was unhappy or sad, I'd be, like, tapping out of the presence, because I'd be like, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. But, like, you would never know happiness without sadness. And that sounds like so cliche, but it's actually so, so true. Like, you would never know the highs. You would never know peace at all if you didn't experience the lows. It's like the only way you know the difference.
Yeah.
The duality of life.
Yeah.
But I think that is definitely a lesson in your 20s, to embrace the pain and know it will pass.
Because I think when you're on like a healing journey or something, like, it can really feel like happiness isn't going to come back.
Yeah.
But it does.
Yeah, and you think, what's the fucking point in this? Because I do believe we're all here to feel happiness and peace at the end of the day and love.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you do like healing work and stuff, and you're like, oh, this feels well icky. And you're like, what's the point in this? But like you said, happiness comes in waves. And when you actually think about it, when you're in a really happy, buzzing mood, or you're having a really good week, it's fucking great, but it's also can be exhausting. You know, when you're like proper buzzing. Imagine if you were like that all the time.
Yeah, I know. Because you know when people say that anxiety and excitement are the same physical kind of feelings.
Yeah, so
in
you
your
can
body.
Always trick yourself as well, can't you?
Yeah. Because I was literally thinking, like, Sunday, obviously, when we were at the event, and we were obviously working there as well. So you're, like, excited because there's so much going on, and you're, like, concentrating. And I was, and then, obviously, yesterday, I stayed in my pyjamas all day on a Monday in bed, because which is just not what I normally do. Because I was just so tired, I just couldn't. I felt like my adrenals were just sapped. Felt like my nervous system was just, like, no, queen, I just can't, like, I literally can't, like, even trying to get my laptop out in bed, it was just like, computer says no, like, so just put it away. And I was thinking, well, there was so much going on, like, so much excitement, and that's just the same as basically if you spent a whole day being an anxious, do you know what I mean? You feel tired the next day, so it's like, if you're buzzing off your tits all the time, you are going to be very tired. A sleepy girl.
Exactly.
So just don't be happy because it's exhausting. Joking.
Okay, so this is my ninth one. Again, this is like a pretty serious one, but my last one's really nice. So my eighth lesson is that...
No, your ninth.
Oh, my fuck. Why do I always do that? I swear I've got like an issue with numbers or something. There is a word for that. Okay, so my ninth lesson is that everyone has coping mechanisms in one way or another, and it doesn't mean that one person's better or worse for what coping mechanisms they use. So I like fully believe that obviously, like, when we come to Earth, we're just like little fresh souls wherever we've come from. And then, like, as you go through life, you pick up like a certain amount of like pain in a way, or like, you know, like, I believe that we all come from love, but then like you can pick up pain and everyone copes in different ways. So some people might turn to alcoholism to cope,
or drugs,
and that is their coping mechanism.
Some people might turn to overworking,
exactly,
then you call them successful.
Exactly, like, that is so much what I've been thinking lately, that like 100% like overworking, and like, it doesn't mean that there's something necessarily wrong with it. It's like, maybe your coping mechanisms actually just kind of make you who you are.
Yeah.
Because everyone has them, like every single person has them. Whether it's that you like, you work out too much, like it's a coping mechanism. Like, I see a lot of like fitness influencers and I think it's fucking incredible how they get their bodies like that, like the dedication, everything. I think it's insane. But then I also just see that is your coping mechanism. It's just your way of dealing with the pain, and like, you got to deal with it somehow. So like, it's cool. But I think realizing that like everyone has coping mechanisms, whether that is overworking, whether working out, whether it's social media, whether it's like the things you don't think about, like everyone has a way of distracting themselves, whether it's you watch series every single night and binge them and never give yourself the time of day to think, how do you actually feel? You're just too busy
consuming
in Netflix. Yeah. Consuming, like, as well, society completely teaches us to do that. Like, the more we're tapped out of ourselves, the easier we are to control.
The Matrix.
It's not like conspiracy theories, but like it's true. But yeah, so I think just that realization that like less judgment on people's coping mechanisms, because someone that might turn to drugs and alcohol, maybe they're just dealing with a huge amount of pain, and that is their coping mechanism, like that is their tool. Mm-hmm. And whether they heal from that or not is their decision. But we all have coping mechanisms in one way or another.
Yeah, literally, and they can be disguised as things of success.
Yeah, and glamorized,
like working.
Yeah, 100% working.
Obviously, like, I'm not saying working's bad or like being passionate's bad, but I think there's obviously like in some situations people can just consume themselves so much with work that it means that they don't have to think about other things. And
And it's
that,
like,
can be a source of identity for them that makes them feel good.
Yeah.
So, and then, but then also some people can turn to food.
Yeah,
comfort food. Or, and then obviously like drugs and stuff, more extreme versions.
Yeah.
But even like
porn.
Yeah, I was literally going to say, yeah, like sex. Like having a lot of sex to numb out.
Yeah, completely. And like the one with like success is a funny one, because I feel like we do glamorize a lot of success, and like success can make you feel fulfilled for sure. But it's funny because I feel like there can be people that really overwork to distract themselves and become so successful, but they're not fulfilled because they're just distracting themselves from the pain. But then a lot of like young people or whatever may really like want to get to that place because we're taught the material things make us feel good. Mm. But I think that just comes through advertising. Like, you buy this car, you're a better person. You get this haircut, you're sexier. But it's like, it's not actually real. Like, authentic, like, valuing yourself just comes from within. Like, none of that is actually real. But like I said, there's nothing wrong to want to be successful. But I think you have to think, like, you have to feel fulfilled first. Like, you know, like, we're, like, always ambitious. We're always on about, oh, we'd love to do this. Yeah. We're going to be on a yacht. We're serious. Shaking we are going to be on a yacht. Yeah, like, we're so serious about it. But also, like, I feel so fulfilled. I know you do, like, every single day. Like, as in, like, what you have is actually enough. Because if you don't, and you're always looking at the future, thinking, oh, I want to get here, I want to have that, then you're going to get there, and you're going to be like, what the hell, this wasn't it.
Yeah, I love what Elaine said in our podcast, where she said, and I keep saying it myself now, I live in the lane of prosperity, where I always have enough. It doesn't matter how much I have, I just always have enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, that puts you in an abundant vibe. I don't know how that's...
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember why this is related to coping mechanisms. Oh, yeah, like, if you're always chasing success, like, some people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the point was just to, like, give people more grace again.
Yeah. I'm just laughing at, like, where we take things. It's just funny. Continue. Sorry.
No, yeah, that's what I was just saying, that, like, everyone's just running from the pains, basically.
I'm not actually passionate about this podcast. I'm just using it as an outlet of a coping mechanism. I'm joking. We all need to just stop what we're doing and go back to bed. I'm joking.
It's like, because then, like, there's, like, a spectrum to it. Because if you weren't, like, for example, working, if you weren't, then we'd all just be floating around.
Yeah, we need purpose.
Yeah, 100%. I wouldn't mind floating around, to be honest.
You wouldn't mind?
Just floating around, dancing and vibing all day. That'd be exhausted. Yeah.
As a human.
No, I mean, like, I'm just thinking in my head, like, there's been a lifetime where people...
You can
do that.
You can go and be a soul after... You're done here. But no, right now, you have...
You're here to work.
You get your fucking ass up and work. Go surround yourself with people that want to work.
yeah.
Okay, my ninth lesson is a simple one, that therapy is a good idea.
Yes.
And we shall do. I think the first time I went to therapy was I was 17. Because I had the most horrific anxiety ever. And I didn't know what the fuck it was. I had no idea what anxiety was. So shout out to that wonderful lady that helped me, you know, realise that I didn't need to have irrational fears about all this stuff. Like, that was when I was at college with you, actually.
Yeah.
Had an irrational fear of you. I'm joking.
You probably did.
No, I'm joking. You know, that was when I first started. But then since then, I've literally... And I'm not saying, like, oh, yeah, so much therapy, because therapy is a privilege, like, as in, it's not everyone can do it, unless you can get it maybe through your school or something where it's free, or through workplaces. Obviously, a lot of workplaces offer employee benefits and stuff like that, which give you the option to be covered for things like that, because they're not cheap. But I've always seen the huge value in it, so I've even always, like, you know, spent my own money on it to do it for me, because it's really important, I think, to take care of yourself like that. And I think life can be really hard, and it's, you know, it really helps you understand yourself and know how to navigate things. And it's just a good place for you to go and, like, be supported and be held, and, like, especially if you have no one really in your life that you can talk to about. And to be honest, there's certain things that you just have to talk to a therapist about. You know, there's your friends, your family might have biases, or they're in the situation themselves. They're not going to see it objectively. Like, you need to talk to a therapist about it to actually, you know, be able to, like, work through or let go of it or heal whatever it is. So, you know, therapy is always a good idea. You never regret a therapy session.
No.
Unless you pick a really shite therapist, then you might regret that. But, like, you know, when people are like, you never regret a workout. You never regret therapy.
No. Yeah. Because it's like the it's like you never actually get that situation anywhere else where someone is completely of service to you.
I fucking love it because I love that I can go in there for 1 hour and talk about me and only me and have all the attention on me and I don't have to feel bad about it because I'm fucking paying them to listen to me and my problems. And it's great. It's like this really nice little you time. I love it. But I know that some people don't like that. They don't like the attention being on them. Yeah. They don't like being seen like that. Whereas I'm like, listen to me. Listen to my problems and help me. Help me thrive.
No, I love therapy as well. I think just that full hour or whatever it is, that week to be completely in your truth and just be like, do you know what? I need support.
Mm.
Can you help me? Is a really like vulnerable place to get to, but so, so healing. To even ask for that help is so healing. And then to go for it is very brave and very rewarding.
Oh, yeah. It always pays off.
Yeah.
Always.
Okay, so this is my last one. This has been so fun. For my last one, like, I was, like, thinking about a few different things and this one around my head. And then I was like, oh, I'm not sure, so I'm going to drive to Grace's because I, like, reread them in my car. And I was like, I'm going to drive to Grace's and I'm going to pick one as I drive. And then I was sorry, it's a whole story. And then I was driving through the hills on my way here, and they're really pretty. And this is my last one because this is my truth and this is what I've learned in my 20s, is that life is really fucking beautiful.
Aww,
and there's so much to smile about. Yeah, and like that we are on a field of love and that we come from love and love is all that we are. And I know that can be a bit of a weird concept to get your head around. And that's why literally when I was 19, I would have been like, you're off your tits. I'm like, what are you on about?
What the fuck are you saying?
But I actually fully believe that now, that like we come here as love, as I said before, and we are love and we come from a frequency in love. And the reason we resonate with people is completely through love. Like that's all that we are. And I've wrote here the quote that you said before, that pain is inevitable, but suffering is a choice. Like we're going to have so much pain in our lives. It's just part of being human.
Hmm.
Your soul chose to do this. But it's just a part of life and it's just the waves of life. But I think like, you know, like when you strip off all the layers, like strip, and you're like, all the things that you're worrying about now, and I really don't mean this in like a dickhead way.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people have worries.
Bring the tough love back in.
Yeah, yeah. Tough love incoming. No, because I know a lot of people have worries and I have worries every day about multiple things. But when you actually get to the core of it, and like, obviously you can ask yourself, can I do something about this, can I not? But when you actually get to the core of it, it's very rarely life or death worries. It's just things that like, that just get caught up in the human experience and you just end up worrying about. But like most of the stuff doesn't even matter. Like we're just on that negativity bias. So we're always kind of worrying about something. And I always find that sometimes if I'm worried about one thing and I'm like, God, if I didn't have this in my life, I wouldn't even worry about anything. And then it goes and then you'll find something else to worry about. It's, because we worry. Like
yeah, it's like the survival instinct.
Yeah, it's just survival instinct.
Seek danger and stuff.
But when you're in that situation and you're looking at a beautiful sunset or you're with your friend, you're on a walk and you're really present and you're like, oh my God, like there's really, when I think about it, there's nothing to worry about. Like there's nothing to worry about. Like life is so beautiful and life is a gift. And every single day that we're here, we should be super grateful that we get the opportunity to create whatever day we like. And underneath the worries and all the stuff, when you strip it all back, is literally just love.
Yeah. You know, and people always say that like classic thing of like, if it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't worry about it for 5 minutes. And it's like, okay, that's cool, but like let's be real, that's not what's going on here. Like as in that it's just impossible, but at the same time it is true. Like
it's so true. Like as in something you might worry about, you might need to worry about it for 2 minutes until you sort it out, but people worry about it the whole day.
Yeah some tough love shit there.
We love the tough love.
Yeah, you love tough love.
You're quite tough love as well. Am don't I? Put it on me. Yeah,
I feel like you're more than me. Am I
I think we both are quite tough love, but I don't know, I just like tough love.
Yeah.
The people that want to hear it will hear it.
And the people that don't will turn the fucking podcast off and thought, these girls can shut the fuck up.
Well, I don't think there's anything that tough love about saying that, to be honest. Like, we all worry every single day about things.
Yeah.
And it is valid because, of course, we're going to worry. It's survival. But when you, it's more like a spiritual concept. Like, when you come back to it, when you're looking at that sunset, Yeah. You realise in that moment, there's really nothing to worry about.
Yes.
It's and like, illusion.
Usually okay in that moment. You're just thinking, you're projecting from the past to the future. And
Exactly. It's like the present moment. There's no worries. Like, you can't worry about anything in the present moment because whatever you're worrying about is in the past and the present.
In the future.
No, in the future. Yeah. Like, in that moment, if you're okay, then
you're okay.
There's nothing to worry about because you're in that moment.
Yeah, and it's very hard for your mind to get that.
Yeah, it's very hard. Right. But then go and read Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, that's some Eckhart Tolle shit right there. I've still never been able to read his books.
No, I haven't either, actually.
I'm not sure if he's for me. Even though I know he does great things in the world. Okay, this is my final one. And it's pretty simple. Committing to self-love is one of the most important things you'll do.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen to that.
Yeah. Everything, like, I don't know. Some people are, like, weird about self-love because I think it can sound a bit like, I don't know, you just love yourself or whatever, like. But
like selfish or something.
Yeah, it's more about, like, the whole picture of what that actually does for you, which is, like, feeding into yourself. It means reparenting your inner child. It means take yourself to therapy if you need it. It means cooking yourself a nourishing meal. Mm-hmm. Rather than going for the easy option of something quick that's not as good for you. It's about doing your to-do list when you don't want to, so that tomorrow you isn't fucking running out of time and missing deadlines. It's going to the gym at 6 a.m. when you really don't want to, because it's actually going to give you more energy and make you feel better. It's dumping that toxic knob that you're going out with that brings you down and is shit and you know you deserve better. It's, you know, having the enough love and respect for yourself to, like, actually look in the mirror and look at where you're not right and where you've done wrong and where you need to be better, and acknowledging that and taking responsibility for your life. It's not just like, I fucking love myself, you know? So, there we go. That's it. A big sigh of release there. 20 things that we've learned in our early 20s. Come back in 5 years when we hit 30. Oh, well, 4 years for me and 5 years for you. And, yeah, so come back then and we'll do another one.
Yeah, God knows what we're going to have learned.
Yeah, probably some wild shit, because, I mean, 4 years ago I had a very different brain.
Yeah.
I think, anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, I think for me, probably maybe I'll just be like levitating.
Yeah, I feel like when you said what came to mind was you wearing elephant pants.
Yeah.
And like,
I like no totally top, tapped out of the matrix.
And you're wearing like beads around your neck and you're in like Bali with like leaves on your boobs and you're dancing in a field.
Yeah, and I'm like, just tune in, guys.
So, what will I be doing? What do you see me?
You'll be like, too busy businesswoman.
Yeah. I see that.
Yeah. So you'll have learned loads of crazy entrepreneurial things, probably.
Yeah, just running myself into the ground and burning myself out and getting all my validation from work and using it as a coping mechanism. I'm joking. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it. Love to know what some of the things that you've learned so far in your 20s, or if you resonate with any of these. And if you just listened to this and you didn't listen to part one, go back to the previous episode to hear that, because that one was pretty emotional and there was like tears being shed, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Follow us on Instagram at Find Your Feet Podcast and TikTok at Find Your Feet Podcast. We love to connect with you guys on social media, and we release episodes every single Wednesday. If you want to watch these, they're always on our YouTube channel, which is Find Your Feet Podcast. And we love you.
We love you. And we'd also love you even more if you sent this to your friends, if you enjoyed this episode, and also if you could leave us a rating or a review on Spotify and Apple. We would absolutely love you so much. But that is all for now. We will see you next time. Bye.